Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. We are down to the final 8 teams in the basketball playoffs. Now at BetOnline Sportsbook, Denver and Boston, still heavy favorites to meet in the finals. However, I've got a sneaky suspicion about taking a flyer on Oklahoma City, the basketball darlings of New York, even a flyer on Indiana to possibly upset the apple cart and maybe, just maybe, go on a run to a Western or Eastern Conference championship. It's long odds. Take a flyer on all three. Maybe one of them cashes and you can make your money back. You can also pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, when you use the link in the description to this episode. Bet online, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night. However and whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav Podcast Network. Except it isn't live, because it is, as always, a podcast. And podcasts aren't live. That's the whole purpose of podcasts. You can listen however and whenever it is that you so choose, and we appreciate that you, the listener, have decided to stop in however and whenever it is that you may be listening. Welcome, 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 everybody. It is a fantabulous Wednesday, May 7th, according to my count. It may not be that according to your count. But we appreciate you stopping in however and whenever it is you may be listening. So we have got a fun show planned for you today. The WNBA tips off next Tuesday. We are less than a week away from the start of the season, what I think might be the start of the biggest season in WNBA history. And every year we give you a WNBA preview show here. At least the last 3 years we've done it. 22, we did a WNBA preview show. We did another whole podcast back then about Breonna Stewart and the dynamics of the WNBA pay structure and all sorts of stuff like that. But every year we kind of sit down and have a WNBA podcast. And once the summer rolls around, we dive deeper into the WNBA as well. But one thing that I thought was very interesting about this year's WNBA, beyond the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Camilla Cardoso, Aaliyah Boston of it all, with the teams who are at the bottom of the league. I mean, I say bottom of the league because they had one of the worst records in the league this year with Indiana and Chicago. And we'll talk about Indiana and Chicago in a little bit, because that storyline I think is incredibly interesting in terms of like macro forces of the league. But the thing that I think is so interesting is that the three teams at the top of the sport, which are the Las Vegas Aces, the New York Liberty, and the Connecticut Sun, those were the three best teams in the sport last year. They ended up being three of the four finalists when we got to the championship round. I know they don't do conferences, so I don't know exactly what to call it, but basically it was Las Vegas, New York, Connecticut. Far and away, three best teams. In the regular, they were the only three teams that won more than 25 games. Las Vegas set a whole bunch of records for regular season metrics in the sport. Only three teams that had an above 600 winning percentage. They all were above 675, which is pretty remarkable at the same time. And then you had New York and Connecticut meet in the semifinal. It was a super fun series. We thought it was going to go to a winner-go-home game five. New York ended up beating them, get to the WNBA finals. Connecticut looked like they were going to have a puncher's chance of messing up the collision course of New York and Las Vegas that everyone had been anticipating from the time that Breonna Stewart signed with New York last offseason. And then on the other semifinal, you had Arika Ogunbowale, who we said on the podcast last year had a puncher's chance of being like that MVP that puts up incredible numbers on a team that's not that good, and by virtue of putting up those incredible numbers, might get some consideration for MVP. Didn't end up going that dramatically with the Dallas Wings, but we were kind of correct, because in a sport that had three dominant teams and nine teams that were kind of just either on a scale, a sliding scale of not great to bad, you had Arika Ogunbowale carrying Dallas through a round in the playoffs, which in a 12-team sport that only has 18 or 6 teams make the playoffs. No, 8 teams in a sport that only has 8 teams make the playoffs. That's a pretty big deal to make it to the Final Four. And Dallas ended up doing that despite being one of the only teams with a winning. They were the only team 4 through 12 with a winning record in the sport. The only team in the entire sport after the top 3 who had a winning record. And what's so interesting about this year is if you look at the title odds going into this year, same exact order. Aces, Liberty, Sun. Aces, Liberty, and Sun bring back all of their star players back for another season. In fairness, the Aces aren't bringing back Parker. However, they did win the WNBA title last year without their mercenary super sub, Candace Parker. So the Sun, all of them come back for another season. Breonna Stewart coming back. You have Sabrina Ionescu coming back. On the Aces side, you bring back Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young. All of them come back for another season, and you look up, and it's the same three teams at the top of the sport with all of their same stars. And if you had been someone who's following the WNBA for the last 3 years, like we have on this show, these are stakes and storylines to start to get invested in. You knew coming into last season it was Aces and Liberty. Aces and Liberty. Those are the two star teams, the two best players in the sport with multiple all-stars as a supporting cast to Asia Wilson versus Breonna Stewart. You knew about those two going into last season on a collision course for a super team championship. And the Connecticut Sun gave them a run for their money, and the Connecticut Sun are bringing back all of their stars for another season. Plus, you factor in the playoff battles that they've had over the past couple of years, and you've got yourself a nice little exciting WNBA season up ahead of you that you can get invested in the storylines on, because these, if you watched the WNBA last year, these are the same teams coming back for, and these are the same three teams at the top of the sport who are likely to battle it out all throughout the season. And it's going to be really fun to watch in real time. I'm so excited to see how this ends up playing out this upcoming season. So those three teams are at the top of the sport. And if you are someone who is excited about the WNBA, these three teams are still at the top, and it's going to be very exciting going forward. And who knows, maybe just maybe Thomas will try and get into the MVP conversation this year with Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart, who I assume will be the heavy favorites to win the MVP going into this season. But I'll also shout out Arika Ogunbowale. I don't know if the Wings have gotten her a better supporting cast. I know the major free agent move was Nneka Ogumike going from Los Angeles to Seattle. But for the most part, I'm not quite sure exactly how that's going to work out. Also, young player who's coming into her own, Jewel Lloyd. We'll see what happens with the Storm and NECA, and maybe they'll be the fourth team this year, but I would expect that those same three teams are going to be dueling it out again in the playoffs, because they bring back all of their stars between Thomas and Bonner for the Sun to Sabrina and Stewie for the Liberty, also Jonquel Jones, and then, of course, you have the big four out there in Vegas all coming back to defend their back-to-back championship. It's going to be very fun and exciting to have those three teams at the top. Like I said, in the middle, Dallas, Seattle, Atlanta, those are teams that are younger, have stars that you know their names, maybe even the Lynx with Nafisa Collier. Like, they're young people, they're young stars who you know their names, and so you're kind of, you're going to see what ends up happening, because those teams are win now mode, but they only have one all-star as opposed to the 3 to 4 all-stars on the teams at the top of the sport. So those teams will kind of be in the 4 through 6, and they'll be exciting to watch if you tune in to see some of their games, because Arike Gumbawale and Jewel Lloyd and Nafisa Collier, those will be teams worth watching because they have those interesting players. And like I said a second ago, if you've been watching the W for the last 3 years like we have, those three teams at the top, you can get invested and excited about. However, as we know, there's a whole slew of people pouring into the WNBA for the first time off the momentum of what was an incredible college basketball season. The WNBA draft had over 2 million viewers when the previous record was 400,000 20 years ago. Over the weekend, the Chicago Sky's first preseason game was not available on any app, was not available on any television. You could not find it. So a woman on Twitter posted the live stream for the Chicago Sky's preseason opener, and it got, at the time of recording, over 500,000 views. 500,000 views for something the league decided was not even worth, like, selling to the NBA app in the way that they did with Caitlin Clark. And so it's interesting to see the new interest in the sport around what will be two teams that will generate a ton of interest in the sport this season, despite the fact that neither of them really have a puncher's chance. Well, I guess 66% of the teams make the playoffs, but none of these teams will be able to beat Las Vegas, Seattle, or Connecticut. Everyone's kind of fighting for that fourth spot, but barring injury, the Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, Indiana Fever, and the Angel Reese, Camilla Cardoso, Chicago Sky, both will probably not be very good this year. I say probably as a qualifier here. However, what is so interesting is that they will probably do just as good of ratings as the best matchups between Las Vegas, Seattle, and Connecticut because of that interest in Caitlin Clark and because of that interest in Angel Reese that has been well documented time and time again on a number of outlets by, let's face it, males trying to talk about women's college basketball in a way that doesn't do justice to the women's college basketball sport. I'm trying my best to be better about it, informed, intellectual, you know, detailing some of the storylines beyond just those two and some of the broader dynamics of the sport at large, trying to just be appropriate in breaking it down. And, you know, we're trying our best, but ultimately we are talking about a sixth sport in our excitement window, and we are only in our third year of watching and investing in this sport. However, I bring all of this up to say this. One of the things that I've heard being talked about a lot over the last 4 weeks, in after the women's tournament outrated the men's tournament, after the WNBA draft does 5 times ratings numbers to any previous WNBA draft, after the opening preseason game for Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso, which the league just decided was not even worth broadcasting anywhere, got 500,000 viewers on Twitter on just a generic live stream. As the league is about to see an exponential rise in growth, and it's rare that we actually say the phrase exponential and mean it, like, exponential usually means like is usually what people say when they talk about steady increases in growth. But what exponential literally means in like the nerdiest math term is a curve upwards that is sometimes 2, 3, or even 4 degrees higher than what the previous numbers were. And you're actually genuinely seeing this, like 5 times numbers on the WNBA draft, exponential amounts of interest in preseason WNBA games, because previously there wasn't enough interest to even put them on broadcast cable or even on some sort of streaming platform like Amazon or the NBA app like they did for Caitlin Clark. You're seeing this exponential growth in interest. Media coverage at large is going to be following Caitlin Clark and the Fever around through a lot of this season. I hope they'll also tag in Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso because there seems to be a genuine interest in the Chicago Sky as well. And the thing that I've heard people talk about a lot is that this will ultimately, mostly men, this will ultimately do damage to the sport because exponential growth is going to lead to some short-sighted decisions that are not good for the future of the league. And while I think that is true, because these teams are not going to immediately compete for championships, it is going to be a slow burn with the Fever and with the Sky. And I do believe people will keep their attention because we've already seen people make the leap from interest in women's college basketball during the tournament this year, already make that leap over to the WNBA. And granted, you've only had about a month and a half in between the end of the WNBA the end of the South Carolina undefeated championship run and the beginning of the WNBA season. So that momentum hasn't had the time to burn out a little bit. Maybe, you know, we'll get a better evaluation on that momentum once we get to year two and three. But the broader point before we get ahead of ourselves is just the interest is there and this is going to be a slow burn. And the reason it's going to be a slow burn is these three teams at the top of the sport right now, Vegas, New York, Connecticut. These three teams are going to be the championship contenders this year. Sports books are showing you this. Even with an influx of people throwing flyers at the wall for Caitlin Clark to come in and win the WNBA championship, sports books are telling you these three teams are the teams. WNBA analysts and experts are telling you these are the three teams. And Indiana and Chicago happen to be the two teams that are going to be the embodiment of the last 2 years of women's college basketball, right? Because over the last 2 years of women's college basketball, we have said it's been about three teams: Iowa, LSU, South Carolina. And more specifically, it has been about Iowa, i.e. Caitlin Clark, LSU, i.e. Angel Reese, and South Carolina. And now you look at the WNBA. Now you look at the players that came to embody those three teams over the last 2 years. Because remember, those are the three teams that have led to this monumental spike in ratings. Paige Beckers and UConn did some of it. Juju Watkins and USC did some of it too. They're going to be the two who build up college basketball from the time forward. For the people who are of similar age and aligned on similar timelines, you have Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and South Carolina. South Carolina represented by Aaliyah Boston during the 2023 season, Camila Cardoso as the best player in the 2024 season. And now, all four of those players are on two teams. Aaliyah and Caitlin are teammates. Angel and Camila are teammates. Playing for, obviously, Indiana and Chicago, respectively. And I know Cameron Brink was the number two pick in the WNBA draft, and Stanford won the championship during her freshman season, and she's going to be awesome with Los Angeles and all the stuff like that. Totally understand those points, too. But Stanford was not part of the deep tournament runs of the last couple years that were galvanizing this interest in women's college basketball. For all intents and purposes of this conversation, let's say that the audiences coming into the WNBA in exponential numbers are going to predominantly be rooting for the Indiana Fever or the Chicago Sky. Potentially, and the Chicago Sky, depending on their interest in Caitlin versus Angel, or Caitlin and Angel, or Aaliyah and Cardoso, or Angel and Cardoso, and Caitlin and Aaliyah. Like, you're going to have we are going to make the assumption that the bulk of the new people coming into the WNBA this season will be interested in Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky. Again, Cameron Brink, awesome. Los Angeles is going to be a fun and interesting story. I don't believe that's the same exponential increase in excitement that you would come to expect as Los Angeles. And quite frankly, I don't think Los Angeles is going to be that good this year. It's going to be her and Chinea Agumake, which was not good enough to make it further than the first round of the playoffs last year, where they got swept by Vegas, I believe. And so we are operating under the assumption that Indiana and Chicago are the two teams generating tons of interest because of Caitlin and Aaliyah in Indiana and Angel and Camilla in Chicago. Neither of those teams are going to win a championship this year. And I've heard people talk about this is going to be a problem for the sport, because when people get into it, they're going to ultimately leave because the momentum will not carry. And I feel like that's where people are getting this conversation wrong, is that they are underestimating people's understanding of the sport that they're entering into. People who are rooting for the who are going to be watching the WNBA with intent in a way that they didn't before, are more likely than not women's college basketball fans, or just basketball fans at large. And they understand the dynamics of these sports. Indiana was one of the four teams that didn't make the playoffs last year in the W. Like, they knew Indiana was not good last year. Chicago was one of those teams that did not make it to the playoffs last year. They understand that these teams are not that good. And going into next year, Chicago is currently expected to be the second worst team in the sport. They have the second longest odds to win the championship, only behind the Los Angeles Sparks of Cam Brink and Chinne Agumake. People will understand that these teams are not expected to be good. People will understand that they are not going to be better than the teams at the top of the sport. Now, I think a lot of people will come to understand Las Vegas Aces, middle of a dynasty, are going to be very good for still 2, 3, 4 more seasons. But give it 3, 4 years and you're going to have genuine... I think you're going to recreate the magic that you saw in the women's college basketball this past couple of years around these two teams, the Indiana-Chicago rivalry. And the reason I believe that is this. Angel and Camilla, even if Camilla is the better player than Angel, Camilla and Angel are the two players that will come to be stars in their own time with Chicago. Aaliyah and Caitlin will be the two stars of Indiana, and if you give them 3 to 4 years, those teams will be good, especially in a WNBA that is about to expand to 14 teams as well, because those expansion teams are not going to be very good. And those expansion teams not being good will give those other teams that have star players chances to accumulate more wins and potentially get higher seeds in the playoffs, versus what happened last year, which is that the Aces, the Liberty, and the Sun were so good that only one other team had a winning record last year. Like, everyone was taking L's against those teams, and because there were so few teams playing each other multiple times, everyone kind of fell down the standings a little bit. And so give it 3 to 4 years and you're going to have a true rivalry of Caitlin versus Angel, and the rivalry of Aaliyah and Cardoso, who both happen to play at the same school of South Carolina. And that's a storyline that people will get invested in. Add in the fact that both teams are geographically similar to each other. Chicago and Indiana are the two Midwestern WNBA teams as things stand right now. There's obviously a team in Minnesota, but you've got three teams out on the West Coast. You've got three teams down in the Southwest, if you count like Dallas, obviously, and Atlanta are geographically apart from each other, but still similar regions of the country of sort. And then you've got all the teams up in the East. Like, you have a legitimate interest. And by the way, you're about to add another team in the Bay Area in 2025, an expansion team as the Warriors team. Yeah, you've got some legitimate interest here, because those two teams are geographically close to each other, and those are the two teams that are going to have an influx of fans who are going to slowly but steadily invest in those stakes and storylines. And what you'll eventually see is one of the, what I believe will happen is one of the older WNBA stars, maybe it's an Arika Agumba, well, maybe it's not as big as an Arika Agumba Wale, but maybe it's Chinne Agumike, maybe it's Skylar Diggins-Smith. Someone who is an older player in the sport will join Chicago and Indiana to play alongside those players. And maybe that'll be how the and maybe give it 2 or 3 years and that'll be how the transition breaks out in the sport. You have the transition from the Aces, the Liberty, the Sun. Those three teams at the top of the sport will have another run at it, and then you're going to start to see a little bit of a transition in the same way that you saw the Storm, who won 2 championships, one in the bubble and one in, I think, 18 was the first year that the Storm won the championship. You saw the transition happen in real time. The Storm started to decline. Aces came on the rise. Brianna Stewart goes to the Liberty, where she teams up with former number one pick Sabrina Ionescu, who brought stability to a franchise that had struggled for many, many years. There's also the financial implications of the fact that Seattle, which is owned by a relatively rich ownership group in terms of having tens of millions of dollars, but it's not the billions of dollars that Mark Davis in Las Vegas and Joe Tsai, who is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, owns the New York Liberty and is pouring money into the New York Liberty in a way that other ownership groups like the Seattle Storm were not doing before. And I think that part of it is interesting as well, because the Chicago team is owned by a billionaire. They won the WNBA championship a couple years ago by going out and getting Elena Delladone, and Candace Parker brought a championship back to her hometown of Chicago. They went out, they won the WNBA championship a few years ago. Then the Pacers owner, Herb Simon, also owns the Indiana Fever, and they're expanding to a bigger arena to accommodate for the interest in Caitlin Clark, who's just going to be pouring money into that franchise. And they can pour money into other players as well, going and build themselves in 2 to 3 years another team good enough to compete for a championship. And that slow burn is going to be incredibly interesting to watch in real time, because you have your present three teams, your three star teams. You have Vegas, New York, and Connecticut. Those three teams are going to be the three best in the sport. They were the three best last year. They're going to be the three best again this year, most likely barring injury. Or even if you want to take Connecticut out of the picture, just say Vegas and New York, because Connecticut, you know, Connecticut could end up sliding a little bit. They're more likely than not to be caught by the rest of the pack. But those teams are still the top of the sport. The two on their tails are potentially Chicago and Indiana, if all goes right. And in 3 to 4 years, once these teams come of age and bring in people from that generation in between, your Arika Agumba Wales, perhaps you go to bring in Chinne Agumike or someone like that, just as a third star who is of a different age timeline than your two rookies and, or I guess your three rookies and Aaliyah Boston, who's in her second season. The young people bring in other stars to help supplement teams that are good enough to win a championship talent-wise. You have the young core grow together, you bring in a star free agent on each side, and boom, now you go. Or you make a trade on each side, and boom, you go. Now you're trying to compete for a championship. Maybe Chicago trades for Agumba Wale. Maybe the Fever go get Chinne Agumike or Nafisa Collier or someone along those lines, and boom, now you've got something you can run with it. But for the time being, you've got a slow burn where you get to watch these people grow in real time, and there's people who are actually interested in watching it in real time because it's Caitlin Clark, and to a lesser degree, because it's Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso. And people will get excited about Aaliyah Boston in the same way they get excited about Sabrina Ionescu, even though Sabrina is the second best player on the New York Liberty, and it was Brianna Stewart making that jump over to the Liberty that makes them championship caliber good. Because again, if you look at how the Aces and the Liberty got to be as good as they are now, they on their teams have every number one pick in the WNBA draft between 2015, and 2018. Every single one plays for one of those two teams. 2015, Breonna Stewart. 2016, Kelsey Plum. 2017, Asia Wilson. 2018, Sabrina Ionescu. They have every single number one overall pick playing for their teams. And if this thing is going to turn into a generational battle between the Aces, Liberty, and Sun versus the young guys, or I guess the young girls of Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky, potentially you get Atlanta in there, Seattle with Jewel Lloyd. Maybe Jewel Lloyd gets to be kind of that bridge. Jewel and Arike Ogunbowale, players who are about to be MVP caliber players and need other all-stars to be able to compete. If you give it 3 years of a slow burn, eventually we're going to get to a place 3 years from now where Las Vegas, New York are going to be dueling it out with Indiana and Chicago, and they're actually going to be compelling, interesting series. That day is not today, but that day is coming sometime down the road. And I think the misnomer that people have about where the WNBA currently stands is that these new influxes of fans who are coming into the sport for the first time, in large part because of interest in Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese in South Carolina in the women's college basketball tournament last year, I think people are making a miscalculation in assuming that these people will not be interested, will not be there for the slow burn to get to the point where Las Vegas, New York, and Connecticut are dueling against Los Angeles, Seattle, Indiana, and Chicago. That's going to be 3 years from now. But I think people are still going to be excited to watch that build up in the short run. Watching Las Vegas is going to be incredibly interesting for people. Watching Las Vegas against Indiana, even now, even in a space where Indiana is probably going to get smoked out the building, it's going to be really interesting to watch. Watching New York go up against Chicago and watch Jonquel Jones and Breonna Stewart play against Angel and Camilla is going to be very interesting. Watching Arike Ogunbowale battle with Caitlin Clark is going to be incredibly interesting, and people will stick around for the slow burn. I promise you. I promise you. People are going to stick around for the slow burn because there are incredibly compelling and interesting stories at the top of the sport, the middle of the sport, and the bottom of the sport. And I promise you, people are going to get excited and invested about those storylines. Because at the top, there's three teams dominating the sport. It's Vegas, and then is New York and Connecticut. Is this the year that one of them can take down the dynasty? Can they win their first championship by taking out Vegas? In the middle, you have teams with young superstars trying to get into the top mix. Seattle went out and got Nneka Ogumike to try and give Jewel Lloyd a second star to compete with. Arike Ogunbowale is still balling out there in Dallas. You've got Nafisa Collier trying to carry Minnesota on a timeline that might align with Caitlin and Angel. And those teams are going to be competing for the star free agents once the star free agents come up in the next few years. And then you go to the babies at the bottom that are generating a whole bunch of interest and excitement. Caitlin and Aaliyah in Indiana. Camilla and Angel with the Chicago Sky. I'll even go so far as to say Cam Brink out there in Los Angeles. Like, Los Angeles is probably going to stink this year, but it's still interesting to see those teams play together. And the interesting thing about the W, I just named 75% of the teams right there have something interesting to follow with stars on various timelines. That's 75% of the league right there. I promise you, people will stick around through the next 2 years to get invested in these stakes and storylines. I guarantee it's going to happen. That excitement is going to carry along for years and years, and you're going to see people getting excited about the sport. Why? Because they're invested in the storylines now. If you can invest in the storylines, the stakes will come when the playoffs roll around. If you can get excited about the storylines, that's always been the thing that keeps people out of sports. any secondary sport, even big sports, but ones that don't get the same access to media coverage to tell those storylines. Access and investment in storylines has always been the thing that keeps people from getting interested in certain types of sports. And you have really interesting storylines with 75% of the teams all on different timelines and all getting ready to compete with each other going into a season that now has something interesting at all levels of the sport. Even the bad teams, Indiana, Los Angeles, Chicago, incredibly interesting. In fact, maybe will be more interesting than the teams at the top. And you also have stars in the middle that will also keep things engaging and exciting as well between the Dallas, the Seattle, and the Minnesota trying to compete with players who are MVP caliber players. It's all going to be very exciting and all very interesting, and I'm excited to talk more about it as the season goes along. And we did a whole preview of the WNBA season without even mentioning, oh yeah, Brittany Griner and the Phoenix Mercury. That's incredibly interesting. I still haven't seen the Robin Roberts 2020 piece with Brittany Griner, and her book just dropped, I believe, today at the time of this recording. So I'm incredibly excited to read that and maybe talk about that as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping on in here to the Take It Easy podcast, where we are talking WNBA all summer long. Thank you. Leave a 5-star review, download, any and all support is greatly appreciated. We have episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, including Wired Ups occasionally on the weekends that you guys can find periodically sprinkled in throughout our incredibly fun podcasting world that we occupy here. We will talk to you again tomorrow. And in the meantime, take it easy.